Today's daf is Kuf Mem Aleph. And we were holding on daf Kuf Mem Aleph Beis at the Mishnah, if Sabah Josh still has any breath available.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Gorfim Milif. You have to keep looking. If the light goes off, it's not good. And I must have pressed it by accident. It's not funny. I did that once before, and I pressed. No, I pressed the stop apparently when I was handling the mic.
How did the Rebbe explain this case?
Wait, let me just say this again. We're holding now. Today's daf is Kuf Mem Aleph, and we're holding on Kuf Mem Amud Beis. Unfortunately, we had a little mess up over here with the recorder. So Rashi is learning our gor from the Apatam refers to an ox, that's spirit, an animal that's being fattened. Therefore has very, very clean taste, and you have to make sure that it's eating. Misakalit starting there is because you're afraid it will get dung into it. Re'i is a lashon of dung. The other approach some of the Rishonim have is patam and re'i are contrasting shvarim. A patam is being fattened, and re'i is lashon mir'e, which is out the pasture, so you don't have, first of all, it doesn't have the same taste. And you're not necessarily so interested. It has to eat so much. So memela mipnei hare'i, you can take the old food leftovers and push it aside. That's enough for it. You don't have to actually empty out the trough. Whereas for the patam, you have to empty the trough. A completely different approach. Divi Rebbe Deisa. The Chachamim Osrim, as the Chachamim Aser, not so clear what it means, the Chachamim Osrim, they Aser both of these things, one of these things. I mean, if it's one, then it's apparently the first one, because the second one seems a double portion. It's a much lighter thing to do. To be Mesalik Ben Anstadim, there's no chashash that you're going to maybe be Mashva Gumais in the trough, and so on and so forth. Or the first pshat, Rashi's pshat, there's no, I mean, what's the mukta over here? What's the problem? Why shouldn't I be able to push it aside? It's animal food. Animal food is in mukta on Shabbos. The Chachamim Osrim, but we'll see with the Gemara what it's referring to. Notulin milifnei beimazo, notulin milifnei beimazo b'Shabbat. Furthermore, you should know that there are animals that are not makpid on eating the leftovers of other animals. So that, we'll see, not all animals like that. Some are good to chassidim, others aren't. But lamaisa, the in the case where an animal will eat a leftovers, so then it's not considered to be mukta, clearly to move from that one to the other one. And this forces us to concentrate on what exactly the level of sfirut is that an animal will be eating. Iboil, Rabbonan areisha pligi o aseifa pligi o tavayo pligi. It says Rabbonan chachomim oisri. So if they argue without saying what they argue on, we might be able to figure that they're arguing on one or the other, or on both. Tashma detani v'chachamim omrim echad ze v'echad ze lo yisalkenu litzdadim. Either, echad ze v'echad ze. Both of them are actually us. In other words, there's no, both of them are us. Now, the shaila is, when we say lo yisalkenu litzdadim, again, that makes more sense if we learn patam and re'im are the two animals. But Amr of Chistel, what's the machlok is based on? Machlok is beivu shal karka. The problem over here is that you have the feeding trough, which very often what you do is you simply hollow out a little bit of ground, you put a fence around it, and that's where you throw the machal. Now, what we're interested in when we clean out a nevos, and we don't want places where the things are going to fall in. Now, if you have little cracks, so the animals, no way the animal is going to get to that. So my natural tendency is to try to smooth it out. But if I smooth out in the karka, so then I'm going to be over on Ashviya Gumas. And then that's an Issa D'Oraisa. So Memela says, Reb Chista, that's the machlokas, whether we have to be cheshish for Ashviya Gumas. But Be'evu Shal Kli, if it's made out of the material, it's not a, it's a trough, it's an actual Kli, so what's the chashash? Then Divrei HaKol Mutter, everybody would be made of its mutter. Yes. Has a bottom made out of whatever, fiberglass, whatever it is. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Evishal karka, somebody would be matir. Mi'ikal amandishori, or kamashva gumais. I mean, he's zikr going to be mashva gumais. Because even in this simple sweeping it out, you're going to end up being mashva gumais. Whatever matir sweeping out. El itmar hoch itmar. Must be that he said just the opposite. Don't refuse to machlokis, beivishal kli. And on the contrary, everybody would be made on karka that it's also the shaila is over here whether we would have to be gezer shokli mishum karka. If we allow you to clean out already, an evu shokli, so people, what a farmer's going to know the nafkamina that he has a solid floor or he has a dirt floor, and he'll clean out anyway. V'notli milifnei habeima. It's interesting that one brisa says, tona chodem notli milifnei habeima shepia yafa. Strange. You could take from an animal that has a clean mouth and put it in front of an animal that has not such a careful mouth. But time you don't note them if they may be a ra. The other bride says just the opposite. You could take away from an animal that has a dirty mouth. You could put it in front of an animal that has a clean mouth, a nice mouth. What does this mean? Both brises are trying to tell you that you can remove food from in front of a chamor and you can put it and give it to a shor. But you cannot take from in front of a shor and put it in front of a chamor. The reason is that a shor slobbers over its food and drops saliva into it, and the chamor does not eat it. Mashen kenei chamor eats cleanly. And therefore, when you put it in front of the shor is not moist, and the food doesn't detect the smell of a chamor in it, and so they'll eat it.
So that's the
feeling around there. Oh, so therefore, what we're saying is like this. So hodik tani, notably, fnei behema shepia yofa, when it says you could take from in front of an animal with a nice mouth, it means with a clean mouth. That means a chamor, the less lay riri, it doesn't have saliva drooling over its food. And you can take it and put it in front of a pora, where the pora is piara, the isla riri, but not the other way around. So it's coming to tell you what you have to be careful for in terms of being tereach and something that shaloi letzerech or tircha, or I mean, it's hard to believe it's even muktze, but what would be the point of being metalta? The other way around is like this. A chamor is called pia ra in the sense of being tasteless. The lo daig v'yochel. It will eat whatever is in front of it. In which case, a lot of the junk that's in the food was eaten by the chamor. Let's say the chayilog. I mean, everybody knows Eeyore eats the prickly stuff. Shor would never eat the prickly stuff, so you give it in front of the chamor. The chamor eats up all of the junk, and then you can give it to the pora. Now the pora is going to eat the good stuff. So that's the pshat. So it's not medayik when it eats, and you give it to a behema shepia yofa. Means then you give it to a shor, where the pora is medayik v'ochla. It's called pia yofa. But this is because, and it works in both directions, because first of all, the poor is willing to eat it. And secondly, it was valuable that the chamor helped it along, actually, over here. Because the other way around, all it does is ruin it for the chamor. It's going? Yeah. Hakash, she'al gabei hamita. These are mishnayos we had earlier when we were dealing with the sugya of mukta. Over here, basically, we've been talking about various trochim that are done in ways that are slightly different to be matter things that are malochas on Shabbos, or where we have problems of muktzah, or things that we could do, b'derech achila, or b'derech halicha, this is the whole last part, is the trochim. What do we do with trochim? So we have this, the ikur mokum of this Mishnah, that if you have kash, and normally kash, is, unless it's miyuchad, kash is usually used to get fires started. And if you have some alamita, so then lo yina aneno biyado, you can't move it around with your hand. But what you can do is, if you want to sleep on it, you want to spread it around, it should be soft and fluffy, you can be menano bigufo. You can lay on it, move it around with your shoulders, so to speak, and smush it about until it becomes suitable for sleeping. If lamais had been set aside to be fed to the animal, not for hasakah, so then it's not muktzah, there's no problem. Osha Yalav Karo Sadin, or there was something that was covering it, you put a sheet over it. And obviously it's already was miyuchad shiva. So then there's no problem. There it could be even minana o biyado. By the way, from this mission is a whole question of whether tiltul al yaday gufo bichlal is called tiltul manatzad, always. Or whether it's just in this particular way in which it's bederech shchiva, memela, this happens. The Chazon Ish is very makbid on tiltul begufo. You know, it's tiltul begufo specifically is called tiltul, is that called tiltul manatzad. Almost all of the modern Paiskim Paskin against the Chazon Ish, I don't think Reb Shlomo Zalman also was matir, tiltul al yaday gufo mamish. Because it's interesting that the Mishnah, the case in the Mishnah, is not a normal tiltul manatzad. We'll see in the Gemara that the Gemara compares it to tiltul manatzad. And there's a lot of discussion on it. I'll mention some of the issues. But so one issue over here is that the mode of tiltul here is not really carrying. It's I'm doing my thing. We had, by the way, the same issue, which the Chazon Ish also brings, earlier in the case of Mefanim, where it says that you can walk through, and as you walk through, you move away the barrels with your body. So again, there the Chazon Ish learns the same way. It's not the pshat that it's not called tiltuf ubiyali de gufa. It's that since it's the pula of halicha, and it just happens agav, your halicha, that's when we're matir. But when we matir, stop going up to something, pushing it from behind, and saying, so I'm not being metalta. Okay, here too. So in other words, one issue that we need to take into consideration is a tiltul that's coming agav, a pu'ula that isn't directly tiltul-oriented. The tiltul is a totsah, it's a consequence of what I'm doing, either lying down or it's a consequence of my walking through. So that's an additional point that's here.
Doesn't location make a difference?
What's that? Sorry?
If the straw is on a bed, I'm going to use it at a... Doesn't it make a difference where I find the straw itself?
Why would it make a difference in terms of...
Well, if I use it as a bed, it's on the mattress.
No.
So that's more... Why would it be more sense? So it's more like a predesignated almost, in a sense.
No, I can... You're asking a different question. Nothing to do with what we just spoke about. Please indicate that, because it's confusing. You're asking if it isn't putting straw on a bed itself an indication that it's meant to be slept on. The answer is no, at least not in their terms, because they often use beds for storage. No, it's a storage. A bed was a place you put... look, a bed was a shelf, essentially. you put things down. Remember that a house in those days was a multifunctional room. So during the day, the bed was a shelf. At night, you take things off the shelf, you go to sleep on it. But the fact that you have firewood on your shelf is no indication it's meant for sleeping on it. I mean, in our terms, enochinami, if you put it on the bed, then it's what you meant it for. So it's a good point. I mean, it's a social-oriented nekud, obviously. Furthermore, a machbesh shaba'alei batim. You have, now, they used to have an ironing, but the truth is, I shouldn't say used to have. There's a very popular device even nowadays. They have it in hotel rooms. You take your pants, you put it into this device, then you close the device, and some of them have heating pads in it, and it presses your pants overnight. That's called a machbesh. So what they used to have was a horizontal one. You put your clothing in a machbesh. It had a piece of wood on the bottom, and then a piece of wood on top. You would lower the piece of wood. It had four holes in the side. You'd lower the piece of wood, and you would screw in the sides to create the pressure, as much pressure. Actually, they would use yatedot, rashi, the various holes. So you'd press it down, insert a yated to hold it down. And then when you wanted to use your clothing in the morning, you would remove the yated, lift up the daf a little bit, and pull out your clothes. So here, if it's shalbalei batim, it's not a professional thing. It's basically someone is using it in his home. So then there's no chashash over here of mukta, as we know that if it's professional things, according to some, the problem over here would be mukta b'chus chisar and kis. They don't want people playing around with it. You have to know how to handle it properly. Or that it's not considered to be a real tikkun begadim. If it's shalbal abayit, if it's a professional one, then already you have a problem of issues of tikkun. Or the shaila is it tight, so tight, as Arashi learns, that it would be a question if it's professional of binyan, binyan bekelim or stira bekelim because it's very tight. Mashenki in the balabal shvach. You know, it's not real binyan v'stira. There's a number of different approaches. So you can open it up, but you can't do the lowering of the board on your clothing. There's a couple of different issues here. If it would be mamish tikkun begadim, then we aser tikkun mana on Shabbos. If we don't view this as being that effective, it's the same as sending it, let's say, to an Israeli cleaner. I mean, you get it back the same way you gave it, essentially, with a few new creases in it. But you mean to get it back? So then the shaila would be that you're being meichin al tzorachol. You're kevish on Shabbos, so it'll be ready after Shabbos. Okay, so again, it depends how precisely you learn the kli and how effective the kli is. Avol shel kofsin lo yigabo. If it's a professional marbesh, then you shouldn't be touching it on Shabbos at all, because then it would be, again, according to Rashi, shayla binyan or stira, because it's tight. According to others, it would be a shayla of emes atikun begadim. According to others, it's because of muksa mishum b'chisor and kis. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, im hayamutar me'erev Shabbos, if there's no shayla, and this is why Rashi understands all things in terms of binyan v'stira. So if it was already loose erev Shabbos, there's no chashash anymore of stira. So then matirat kulo, then you could push the rest open for shomto, you could get your clothes out from inside. Again, others would have to learn this differently. They learn matiras kulo, not that you're able to do anything to the machbesh itself, it's a moksh machbesh chisorn kis, but matiras kulo, which is very dochuk, matiras kulo means you could pull out the clothes and be shomate your clothes from inside. A little bit shvach, okay, but again, I just want you to be aware of the other possibilities in the Mishnah. Omer of Nachman, this we've had at Amra times before also, which is our radish issue. Somebody puts the radish into the ground to keep it cool. It's not attached to the ground in any way. So the question is, did you put it wide side down or did you put it sharp side down? So if it's milamala lamata, shori. But if it's milamata lamala, it's osir. So if you have it from top to bottom, so in other words, the rooted part, what was rooted, is facing downwards. So when you pull it out of the ground, you're not moving off her. You're leaving a hole, some offer may fall into the hole, but you're not moving off for directly.
Is a little bit above the ground?
Yes, according to this, and then, because it's a tiltum and hatzad issue, as we'll see. Whereas if it's the other way around, if the sharp part is facing up, so if you pull it out now, so then any offer that was on the part that's sticking out is going to be moved by you and then fall out to the tzad. But then you're being metalto. So according to Kibbutz Osir, which you might for your tiltum and hatzad, or tiltol al yedei dover acher. We'll see that we're going to compare the two issues. So if you're being metaltol by moving the radish, you're moving offer. Amrei Rav Barava, Amrei Beirav. What they said in the base of Medrash is that the Mishnah is connected to Nachman, Tanina the local of Nachman, because it says Hakasha gabe hamita lo yina anenu biyado avimina ane'o begufo, that you're allowed only to move this kash if it wasn't biyuchad. For sleeping on, you could only move it by moving around your shoulders. But anyway, what do you see? That even if it was muktzah for hasaka, you are allowed to move it with your back. So if you're allowed to move it with your back, so apparently, if you're not doing it in a normal way, you're telling me the normal way of moving dirt is to move a radish that moves the dirt. It's also tiltum and atzad. Now, obviously, they're not being mechalic between tiltul al yedei dover acher, where I'm moving the radish normally. You're just saying that the radish is not the way I would usually go around moving dirt. Mashenkein, the way in which I'm moving by wiggling my back. That I understand is tiltul menatzat. So the beirav held that there's no way to be mechalic between those two issues. Yeah. Okay, so I mean, if that's the case, there's certainly issues over here. Binogei lechazanish's approach, right? Because what are you going to say? You're telling me that there it's agav by pu'ula of lying down, But it wouldn't be a normal tiltum and atzad. That's why we're matzad, and we shouldn't be matter at bichlal over here. We could say that this is a direct tiltum. Okay, you see what the issues are. Yeah. What did you want to ask?
No. Oh. Here. When I'm moving the radish, I'm not trying to move the offer.
It doesn't matter. You're obviously going to move the offer. That's a given. You're going to move the offer. And so now the shaila is whether that's a problem.
It would prevent me from moving the radish. Isn't that qualitatively different than moving out of bed in order to move the kash? Am I discussing the kash in the bed to prevent me from using the bed, or am I lying in the bed in order to move the kash?
No, you're trying to go to sleep.
I'm trying to use the bed for the bed.
Can you imagine using a bed for any other purpose, Barnea? Of all
yes,
people?
I mean, that's the question.
That's what we were talking about, but that was the Chazanish. He was saying that, no, it would only be in this way. Omer of Yehuda. By the way, there's another cute child over here. Why doesn't the radish become a basis of davar aser? Since the offer is not, everybody's might is mukzi, not allowed to move it in any way. And over here, you definitely had ben hashmoshes, you had the offer on top of the radish. So in the same way that you can forget about the question of min atzad, it itself is also betiltul because it's a basis. Offer? To move off? What?
I thought that the basis of davar aser is that as a davar aser that a melacha is done.
Yes, it's
no.
And aren't there kosher uses for offer?
No, only if you set it aside for those purposes.
And it is still here that basis in case of shchicha, if you forgot something, is not considered a basis.
So you put it there. What do you mean shchicha?
No. But it's mashma there.
I want the dirt on top of it. But anyway, the question over here is if my das was that it wasn't going to serve as a basis through Shabbos, this is a summer matter. My das is to take the pugla. So how do you tell? I'm certainly not being miyachid as a basis because I don't want it to be in there. I don't want this thing to hold the dirt. I would have to want to remove it from the dirt. My intent is I put it there in order to be able to remove it, not that it should serve the dirt.
If you didn't put it there,
somebody
else came
along
to do it?
No.
Well,
that's
maybe.
Yeah, but that's
already that's a basis question. Whether somebody else has a way to answer your thing. I assume it's your radish. Omer of Yehuda, honey pilpili. If we're talking about radishes, we might as well get on to peppers. No, I mean, if you want to make a salad, what are you going to just use radish? So if you have pilpili, you have to cut your pilpili. If you make a shinui, you use the back of the knife instead of the blade, and you do them one by one to crush them up. That's mutter. But tarte, that's already similar to toichen, and it's not enough to make a shinui. Rav Amar, kiven de mishane, afilo tu venami. If you made a shinui, then even if you need to make a lot of salad, it's not considered to be similar to toichen. And you're allowed to prepare your radish, your pilpulin like this. There's a big machlokes we're showing him over here. The Rabbeinu Chananel learns in the Shiltais that it's talking about yontif. And on Shabbos, it's not mutter bichlal, which Tosfos doesn't like at all. Because the whole sugya is talking about Shabbos. He questions why on Yontif there should be an iser since pilpulin. It obviously makes a difference when you're dochik the pilpulin and so on. And he learns the whole sugya is talking about Shabbos. At dafka on Yontif, there would be bichlal, no problem. You can even do it kedarkei. It brings rayas. You can do kedarkei elements of tchina on Yontif when it's more effective. And indeed, we pasken Lagavi Shabbos also. Again, we make the same shinuyim we spoke about yesterday. Various shinuyim that you can make, either the surface that you use, the kli that you use in order to do it, and the direction, and so on. So making a shinuy is mutter l'tzerech achila, even tuva. If we're careful not to cut it as thin as we usually cut it, shouldn't it? So there's shinuyim in every element, in the pu'ula, in the kli. Sorry? Yeah, crushes them. or cuts very thinly. Omer of Yehuda, man desachi b'mayim. If you're going swimming on Shabbos, and we mentioned earlier that we have this big chumrah that we don't go swimming on Shabbos, generally speaking, it's not clear where the chumrah comes from. There's even some who say there's no such chumrah, if you remember. There's no such minhag. Okay. But lemaisa among the Ashkenazim, it certainly has become more or less mekubal that we don't swim. But if you're going swimming on Shabbos, assuming that it meets all of the requirements that we spoke about earlier of chashoshes of swimming, you know, what type of thing it is, whether it's an ekshash of ashve gumais, of binyan, of tiltul, of similarity to things like that, but fine, you're in a swimming pool. So now the question is, what about the water that's on you when you get out of the pool? So you get out of the pool, you could be carrying. So lignim nashibarasha, first towel yourself off, and then get out of the pool. It's hard to dry yourself when you're in the pool. And Dilma Atilati Arba Amas Bakarmalis, because if not, so you're gonna carry four amas, the water that's on you, you're carrying in a carmelis.
Where's the carmelis?
In the area around the pool. Normally the river is inside of a carmelis. It's an open area, it's a carmelis. Why would it be Rishus Rabim? It's not a place where people go through. It's not Sratya, Platya. I mean, it's not a place for transportation. It happens to be people come there, but that's called a Carmelis. Especially if you hold, you need 600,000 people to be using it. I mean, that's only the French go to beaches like that. So the question of here, a fascinating question, which is mamish, very masik, not in the Peskim, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it, the Beis talks about it. What happens if you're caught in a rainstorm? So according to this, you got to sit there. Because once you're wet, you can't walk, as you're being metal to lav armies. Rishis Arabi. What if you're mamish and Rishis Arabi? You got a serious problem. What do you do with the rain that's on you?
And your wet clothes?
Oh, it's fakirat. So some learn that's the reason that the Beis Yosef is martyr, is because he says, there's not so much water. So what do you mean there's more water? What are you talking about? There's not so much water. Some say he means that because most of the water goes into your clothes, where it's bottled to the clothes. I'm a mailing. You're wearing your clothes. You can carry the water that's in the clothes. Good, Oberlemaitre. What do you do when you have a lot of water that's on your skin? And if you're wearing shorts, then you're not allowed to walk. You have to stand in the middle of Rishis Rabim. Amazing situation.
I think there's a difference, though.
Difference?
If you rain, you can't avoid. When you come out of the pool, nobody goes into the water unless it's a warm day. You can just stand there and dry off without rain.
How would that make an afkamina la locha? What he's trying to say.
Yeah.
That some of the Achronim say that. That when you're in the pool, you obviously want the water. So when you're walking off with the water, that's part of what you wanted before. So you have to be careful not to carry it. Mashen, can we get caught in the rain? I mean, who wants the water? Adarab. You're interested in the water should fall off. It's not a pool of samaloch at all. No interest in it. Okay. In any event, it's just interesting to think. Ask the Gemara, wait a second, if there's a problem of carrying water in a carmelis, so how are you allowed to go into the pool in the first place? Because if you go into a pool, you walk in, and you're not careful how you walk in, so you push the water. So now the water is moving four amas because of your push. You don't have to push something. When you throw a ball, Arbam is in the Carmelis. If you're throwing the water, if you're telling me the water is considered to be a separate entity, so you're pushing the water, Arbam is in the Carmelis. Says the Gemara, Keiche be Carmelis Lagos. Since it's only Keiche, it isn't directly. So that they were never Gezer in a Carmelis. It's not a Rishus Rabim, so Mela is not a problem. Om Rabbi of Itaimer of Yehuda, Tit Shalgabe Ragloi, once we're talking about getting caught in the rain, I mean, so what about if you've got mud now on your foot? You should rub it off on a dry piece of dirt, but not on a wall, because on a wall it looks like you're being baina. You're filling up the cracks of the wall with mud. Amar Rava, what? My time of the kosel. What are you saying? I shouldn't use the kotel to rub my feet. I mean, it's very nagay over here because they have these low places where the stones people use to rub off. It's very good as a scraper. So you shouldn't use a kotel. You're saying because that's misik b'ina. What kind of binyan is that? A binyan chaklahu. I mean, that's a. It's not a real binyan, that's a binyan of a farmer who put up something. We're going to answer that, it looks like binyan. People are going to think that's what you're trying to do. I don't hear it. Elam Arava, I think just the opposite. If anything, you should be mekaneh davkan akoto. Because then you're not going to come to be mashvegumais. But ain mekanche bekarka dilmatzilashuye gumais. You have to be careful not to do it on the ground. What if a little bit of dirt gets into the place where you, and then you're filling up the ground, and now you're being mashva gumes? Itmar, mar bereda ravina amar. So therefore, echadze ve'echadze aser. Same question we had yesterday. Since Rava gave his svara to aser bekarka, and Rav Yehuda gave his svara to aser b'binyan. So good, so both are aser. There you go. Make the best of both worlds. Rav Papa Amar, Echad Zev, Echad Zev, Mutter. On the contrary, the kotel is not a problem because it's binyan chaklo. And the karka is not a problem because you're not interested in Ashriya Gumet. I just, what's the problem?
During Mokhom Maisir, I wasn't going to ask the Shabbos, I was going to ask him now. Come out of the place of the Shabbos, so the Shabbos, you come out of the Shabbos, come on Shabbos, and there's not even any liquid stuff. He's can I even use salsa, but even there's no soap at all. And on Shabbos, you come out of the shade and your hands are not so clean. Now, rubbing your hands against it, there's a nice wall there. You want to rub your hands, use it at nothing. That's not the case over here. It's very dumb.
What do you want to do?
Can you use like rubbing hands against the wall?
Yes, yeah, well, the mice are where matter.
Can you clean your hands like soap packer purposes on Shabbos? You rub your hands against the wall.
Oof. The answer is yes. Oh. So lemar b'rei ravina b'may b'kant chedav. Lemar b'rei ravina, everything is also. So we're supposed to do walk around with 12 feet a whole day. No, b'kant chedav b'kora. What's the problem? Take a board, take a piece of twig, a board, something that's lying on the ground, which is no problem. Neither of ashriya gumais nor of mirzig abayna, and rub it off on the kaira. Omar Rava lo leisivinin shapumid el chayaya. This also we had before. Person should not be standing directly underneath the lechi, because then Dilma Mingandr Lachef, it's Vasilasuye. He doesn't realize that he's inside what is essentially Rishus Hayochid. And now if something rolls out and it's within now his Arba Amas, so he'll bring it in without realizing that that's actually Hachnasa. V'yomar Rava lo litzadeh inish kuba. Dilma Asila Shriya Gumais. The truth is, these are all various issues that we've spoken about before, each one in its place, right? So here, Lolitzadeh Inish Kuba Bekarka. So a person should be careful not to move something, turn over an Aknaw barrel on the ground where it's on the Karka, because again, Dilma Asila Shriya Gumais. And Omar Rava lo lahadik in ishidru v'puma deshisha. Again, the question of schita, stuffing up a hole with using small pieces of material that are damp. So you want to prevent the water from coming out. Because again, the masin de schita, all things that we had. Omar Rav Kana teach agabi bigdei mechas chesay mi bifni vein mechas chesay mi b'chutz. If you have some dirt that is on your beged, so you can rub the beged from the inside. Let's put your fingers inside. Rub the beged. Don't rub it from the outside, because from the outside it looks like you're doing a normal pu'ula of melabein. Even though, and here's where Rashi says this big yesod, that without water it's not shayach real libun. In other words, other types of tikkun begadim are not included in Malabin, really midiraisa. So it's again, it's like a getter of the chachamim osered, but it's not real Malabin. So in order to avoid the appearances of your coming to do cleaning on your baguette, put your fingers inside and rub. And that is a whole question over here, whether this is said if the dirt is dry. Because then you're being tochei. using bitochin dirt also. So bishlam is to remove dust. That's one thing. But they have dried mud, which often happens. You walk around and you realize it's dry mud on your cuff. So then the question is, if you're going to get the mud off, even if it's shaloi kederach malabim, but how about the question of teichin? There's some answer, dry mud. There's also a question of whether it's going to still leave a stain. If it doesn't leave a stain at all, so sometimes then it's begetter, the tikkun begada. It is included in the rabban and malabim. There's a lot of chumras on these things. It's big machlokas aposkim. Some that are makel. But people, it's become, I think, pretty much acceptable not to take off a stain completely and to be careful not to do it the way you would end up bechol. So al bigdo, oops, sorry. Meisve teach al gabi minalo megaro begav sakin val shal bigdo megaro betziporin ubovat shelo yechascheis. Here it says you're allowed to scrape at dirt that's on your baguette. But you're not allowed to be mechascheis. You're not allowed to rub the material. So that's mashu you can't rub at all, whether it's from the inside or the outside. My love, shaloi chascheis cha. Well, maybe it means shaloi chascheis mibachutz. Meaning not to rub the way you normally would rub. Part of the pu'ula, if you ever watched anybody in the old days doing real washing, hand washing, you always take, but when you take it off the scrub board, if there's a place where there's a stain, you always fold it over and you rub the material on the stain. So that you shouldn't do. But ain't a chinami. There's no iser, maybe in kiskus me'achora. Omri be'avu, omri be'lozer, omri be'anai. Migarerin minal chadash. If you have a new shoe, so then the leather is tough and there's no problem in using something to scrape off the mud from it. Avalo yashan, if you have old leather, then you're liable to actually scrape the leather smooth, because it becomes, again, our leather has a tough finish on it, but raw leather, when you scrape it, you take off a layer of loose material, and that's called mamachik. So that would be awesome. Bame migaron, what can you use on the new leather? What can you use to be megara? Amar Rabbi Avu, begav sakin. You can use the back of a knife. Amar le'ahu saba sami didach mikami. Listen, let me tell you some good advice. You listen to an old man. You cross out your halacha because of what I'm about to tell you. You'll see that mine is much more authoritative. But hadatani Rabbi Chia, ein megarin. It's Rabbi Chia's brisa. You're not megara at all. Lo min al chadash, v'lo min al yashan, v'lo yasuch et raglo shemen v'betocha min al. More than that, if you are wearing a shoe, you can't drip oil on your leg to make it smooth, which you would do maybe to prevent blisters and so on, because then it looks like you're putting directly on the leather and you're being mahabe the leather on Shabbos. But what you could do is you could sachet raglo shemen umeiniach betocha menal betocha sandalet. You can put oil on your foot, and then even though your foot is now oily, you don't have to be cheshish to put it inside of the shoe, despite the fact that lemaisa that will have an effect on the shoe. And you can even be sach kol gufo shemen. You can even have now oil all over your body. Umit agel al gabeka tablia, and you can roll around on top of a mishtach of or a tablia is like a raw piece of skin, basically that they use for simple covering a picnic table or something like that. So even though that's lemaisa pula of ibud, you're just lying down for the day, so it doesn't matter that it will get oiled. Ve'ino chosheish om Rav Chista. Well, that's only if, what he seems to be saying, that's only if your intent is to polish the shoe, or to polish the katablia, avol abdo asur, but to actually work it, that would be awesome. Ask the Gemara, what? First of all, what do you mean, la abdo asur? What, you're telling me you can't do an issa d'oraisa on Shabbos? Pshita. And la tzachtzcho, What, Mi'ika Man Deshari, there's somebody who's matir shining your shoe on Shabbos? What do you mean? Your kavon is to shine your shoe? You going to shine your shoe with a shinoi? Who ever heard of such a thing? Eliyit Marachi Yit Ma'atzmi. I didn't understand what Reb Chista said. Reb Chista lo shono ala shiur letzach tzacho. That when we're matir using oil that's on your skin to put on skin, that's only if the amount of oil that's there is not going to end up doing anything. At most, it'll shine it up a bit. Not that your kavana was to shine it. But if there's enough shiur la'abdo, even if your kavana isn't to be ma'abed, then it would be us. Tanu Rabbanan, lo yetze katan b'minal gadol, a child should not go out wearing, it doesn't mean a child necessarily, but a midget, or even somebody wears a smaller shoe. Don't go out with a shoe that's going to fall off of your foot. Avo yotzehu b'chaluk gadol. There's no problem in wearing clothes that are too big for you, because even if they fall off, you're liable to put them back on again. We don't have a chashash that you're going to walk around naked in Rosh Hashanah and carrying the clothes because people are laughing at you that, hey, buddy, those pants are too big on you. Really? I'll take them off. That we're not chashash on. But if somebody makes fun of your shoes, then they have hinami. You may take them off. If they fall off, you get tired of walking around, clumping around, so you pick up the shoes. There we have a chashash. V'lo tetzei isha b'min'al mirupat. A woman should not walk out with a shoe that has some type of looser or patched material on top, because then if somebody makes fun of her, you know the first thing she's going to do is take off those shoes and carry them. Velota chalotzpa, and you should not do chalitza lechatchila with such a shoe, because we're afraid that maybe it'll end up being so badly mirupat that it won't be chofa rov raglo. The Satosus understands that there's a chashash over here that if we're matir, a now mirupat, v'chatchila for chalitza, so then they may come using such an old shoe that it won't even be machasa rov raglo. Then it doesn't have a din of minal at all. V'im chaltza chalitza tak shera l'maisa, if it only is mirupat, then the chalitza is kosher. You shouldn't go out wearing a brand new shoe, because again, we're talking about, as they explain, we're talking about a woman's shoe. A woman is makbid that the shoe has to fit for some funny reason. So they sit there for hours trying on the shoe. This fit, this doesn't fit, so on. Okay. So if Lamaisa, she puts on a new shoe and she's walking out, she didn't realize it doesn't really fit properly. So then she's liable again to carry it, to return to the store. But if she tried it on before Shabbos and walked with it, Tani Bar Kapor lo shino, ala shlo yatzapa shachas bibeod yom, Avo Yatzabo Mir Shabbos Mutter. She already tried it on and walked with a little Miba Odyom, then it's okay. Tony Choda, Shomtin Minal Mialgabe Imus, Betanidach Ein Shomtin. We have two brises. One is that you're allowed to take your Minal off of a form, that is what they make the Minal on. And one says you're not allowed to. So how do we explain it? Lokash. We know that there's a machlokis. The machlokis is like this. It's not. Min'al sha'al gabe imus. If you have now a shoe that is on those forms that they have in the shoemaker that fit the shoe from the inside. What do they call them?
Block.
On a block.
That's not the things that you take as home. Like a lot of people have those.
No. This is a refresher. It's actually the form, the original form for the shoe. So Rebbe Eliezer says that when the minhal is on that, then it's now not a kliyah. So he's metayer, because apparently he holds that it's not yet, having not been removed from the form, it's still in the process of manufacturing. And we don't view it as a finished kliyah. If it's not a finished kliyah, then obviously it's going to be muksa. It doesn't have a kliyah. According to the Chachamim, once it's already in shape, the fact you didn't take it up and finish it up, I mean, that is, it's finished, basically. Well, you need to package it. So therefore, it would be a kli and would be mukta. So that would explain why we said that there's two brises. If it's the first time, it could be a problem like a patish we had before, yeah. Right. Yeah, we had that before. That if you're going to be metakin it the first time, so inachinami it would be makib patish. Even putting in shoelaces the first time, be makib patish. It is a derisa. Sahini chalurava diomar davish malachal yisur ben atzer rufa ben atzer mekamim muter shapir. Now wait a second over here. Remember, we had a very, very fundamental machlokas before about what the din is of a dover shemalachta liyisa. So Rava held, if you remember, there's no nafkamina in tiltul litzerech between tzerech mekana and tzerech gufa. Because Rava said, what's nafkamina? It's litzerech. That's the point. We're mata tiltul litzerech. Abaya, on the other hand, made a very important distinction. And he said, tzerech gufa is where we were mata the kli. But stam to move it where the kli itself is not being used, it remains a kli shablach to liyisr, and has no other purpose for you, so then you're not allowed to move it at all. Tzarech is measured by the tzarech for the kli, not the tzarech of you, and therefore, according to him, it was us. So, okay, if you go according to Rava, so then this makes sense. Because what we're saying is, I can move, I can move this emus. Because I need to move it in order to get the shoe off of it, right? So I understand that that's the equivalent of the tzarech mekoma. That is tzarech mekoma. If I need to be able to move something because I have to get something off of it, so I hold the emus, pull it out of the shoe. What's the problem with that? I say, but the emus is aser because it's a thing that's used for tikkunim nalayim. So what? I'm using it as tzarech mekoma. But according to Abaye, even if you hold, according to Rabbanan, the argument of Rabbi Eliezer, and they say that Nal itself is not a problem, but the emus is a problem. So how are you going to move it without actually moving the emus? And the emus is a klisha balakal yisr, and I don't need it, I'm only moving it at tzarech mekoma. So what's the heter for that? It's talking about over here, where it was already loose, it wasn't tight on the emus. Which, because I don't need to move the emus. I don't need to touch the emus. I just have to pull the shoe off. And the shoe comes right out. And there, the question remains, only one. Is the shoe a kli or is the shoe not a kli? So that's dependent on machlokas and kelim that we just brought between Rebbe Eliezer and Rabbanan. Yeah, let me just finish the thought. The tiny Rebbe Yudah Omer, im hayara fui, mutar, as it says over here, that if it was rafui, it's mutar. Taima the rafui. Oh, so wait a minute. So now there's another problem. If Rabbi Yehuda is saying is dafka that it's rafui, then it only works according to Abaye. Because according to Abaye, there's a difference if it's rafui or not, correct? Because according to him, I have to think up a case in which I'm not going to move the emus, l'tzarech mekaymei. Because he holds a tzarech mekoma of a klisha malachta liyisr is aser. So therefore, it could only be talking about where the shoe is easily removed and I don't have to move the emus. So, hini chala baye, diyom adavish malachta liyisr, tzarech gufa mutter, tzarech mekoma aser shabir. So according to him, it makes sense, but according to Rava, who holds, bein tzarech gufa, bein tzarech mekoma will be mutter, who cares if it's rafu or not? I'm allowed to hold the emus and pull the emus out also? So I feel Lora Fuinami. Ah, that's Rabbi Yehuda, excuse me. Aid Rabbi Yehuda is Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Yi. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Aimer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Rafui, or Eno Rafui, not in terms of the Emus, but in terms of the din of the Minal. He was saying, Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that it's not considered to be a finished Kliyet. That's dafka, if it's tight, so that I still haven't done the removal. The removal is part of the gimur akli, because I wasn't motzi it from the emus, and therefore it's not considered to be its own thing yet. Masha enkein, on Shabbos, when would we give it a din of a kli? Even if it wasn't mamish removed, it just has to be rafui. If it's Rafui, what's Nafka Mina? I mean, then already, what you said, because I have something inside of it, that's not going to change the nature of the Kli. But the involvement of the Kesher between the form and the Minal is such that unless I did that final pula of removal of the form from it, it's not a completed Kli. Obviously, if the form is just sitting in it, and it's Rafui already, then even Rebbe Eliezer would never have said that there's something chaser in the minhal just because it's on the imus. And that's what Rebbe Yehuda was talking about. We're talking about the question of whether you can move the imus. That's it by his imagination. He's going on, leave it to Rebbe Eliezer. Hadron alach tolin. Notel adam et bino ve'evin biyado. A person can pick up his child, and even though this child is carrying a stone, he doesn't want to let go of the stone. And he says, let go, no! You can still pick him up. Vikalkala, and you can pick up a basket that has peros in it, even though there's also an oven inside of the basket. Umetatalin truma tmeyayim tehora, and you can carry truma, which is tmeya, and therefore has no use on Shabbos, if it's in the same basket with truma that's tahira. And well, for that matter, with chulin, because the chulin can be had, you could even, if you had a mixture of 100 to 1, so then is once you have 100 parts chulin to 1 part truma, the truma is bottle, and even the Yisrael is allowed to eat it. The only problem is, he has to take out 1 part to give to the Kohen. So he does not taking what belongs to the Kohen. But in terms of the Isser of Truma, there's no problem in eating it. Therefore, there's no tikkun in actually removing the part that's chazi to the Kohen. In which case, it must be that it was mutter to be metal to the whole thing. So again, that's very similar to the idea, metatlin kakola with an oven, or metatlin truma tomato. Imatoira. He can't eat. He can't eat the whole thing. He has to give a part of the coin. But it is no iser of truma anymore. He can look at one side and say, you know what, that part I'm going to leave for the coin. That's enough.
But at the end of the day, he's got to take it out.
What do you mean? He's got to leave it, you mean? He can't, yeah. Or take it out. That's what he's saying. So therefore, he can take it out also. What's the afkamina? Oh, my brother, hotziti no chai. If you carry out on Shabbos, on the Mishnah we're talking about Tilta, we weren't talking about Hotzah, Rava is putting in now another issue, and that's the question of Hotzah. So if you carry a living child, V'kis talui b'tzavaro, who has now a wallet that's hanging over his neck, and has money in it, so we don't say in that case that the kis is bottled to the tinaik. There he would be chayiv mishum kis. He would still be chayiv on Hotzah. For the tinok is not chayiv on Hotzah. Obviously, must be that Rava holds like the shita, as the Gemara will clarify in a moment, holds like the shita that achay no seyas atzmo, even in the case of a tinok. That's part of the shaila we had earlier. But the kis in this case is a separate Hotzah, and therefore you would be chayiv. Tinok meis, v'kis tolui lo b'tzavaro, if the child is dead, so then, there's no Isser, because that's the Malach Shein Tzrich on a Gufa, to be Motzi Meis on Shabbos. And over there, he would be Potter even on the Kis. Tosfos says maybe be Potter on the Kis because of his Tsar on the death of the child, that he's not thinking about the Kis, that he's not going to remove it from the child and so on. What's the point of the Kis? Okay. We'll see, it could be that it's Hotzah, he says, maybe it's Hotzah, but it's not the derech of Hotzah. To carry a kis, I have a mace. It's not the derech of Hotzah. Maybe that's the issue. But now the Gemara wants to know, tinek chai v'kis talulo b'tzavaro, chai v'mishum kis. Why only because of the kis? Why not because of carrying the tinek? Chai v'nami mishum tinek. Obviously, Rava Rabbi Nosson Sfirale, Rava must hold like the shita of Rabbi Nosson, who holds the Yom HaChai no seyat atzmo, that a chai, even though maybe he's in a matzah which he's not really able to carry himself here, he could carry him. We'll have to see what the case is, why the father's picking up this child then. V'libatel kis l'gabe tinok, why isn't the kiss bottle to the child? Now you see why we're bringing this all up here. We're bringing it up because it seems to be part of the issue in our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah seems to be saying there's no problem of carrying the Evan when he needs to carry the Tinek. So then here, why shouldn't we say that if that's the case, the same way the Evan is bottled, and so let's say that the kiss is bottled to the Tinek, and if I'm not chayav on the Tinek, I shouldn't be chayav on a kiss? Doesn't it say, if somebody carries out Esachai b'mita, if somebody who isn't feeling well, you carry them out on Shabbos inside of the bed. So you're poter af al amita, shamita tfelalo. The mita is tafel to the person that you're carrying out in it. We're not going to be mechayev you separately on the mita. So over here we shouldn't be, if we're not mechayev you on the tinoik, then we shouldn't be mechayev you on that kiss either. No, come on, the mita is bottle legabi the chayim. That's the whole point. It's a shimush for the chayim. You're using it to carry him. But the kiss, the gabi tinok, lo mevatele. Why would you mevatele the kiss for the tinok? And say you're not interested in your wallet anymore. So remember, you're still being motzi the kiss. Tinok meis v'kis torilu b'tzavaro potter. And if the child is dead and has a kiss in your potter, why aren't you chayef for the tzavas at tinok? Because a meis certainly is not nosi etzatzma. Rav k'Rabbi Shimon Tzvirle. D'omer kol melacha. That if you're doing something where the tachlis is not over here for the tzerech of the melacha, and you're not interested in having the tinek in this place, you're just not interested in having a tinek here, so it's, there's no pool of itzah. You'd much rather bichlal, the tinek would be alive, not dead. What are you interested in? The tinek meis at all, you're not interested in. So therefore, you don't have a problem over here of itzah. Yes, the Gemara, and this is why we're interested in this whole sugi here. It's non notel adames beno the even biyado. It says in our Mishnah, you can carry a child, and here we're talking not carrying in Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about tiltum. But apparently that means that you're not considered to be carrying the stone. You're only considered to be carrying a child. And here you're telling me that it's considered to be carrying the keys. Lagabi the Diraisa. Why is it that when it comes to Mukta, we don't consider it to be carrying the stone, but when it comes to Otsa and Shabbos, we do consider it to be carrying the kiss? I don't understand what the difference is. Amri, the very Rabbiana, he says, Rabbiana, you don't understand the case. We're not stomping Matu to carry a Tinok who's carrying a stone. We're talking about a kid that is crying and is very upset. He needs daddy. So the tinok yeshlo gaguin al aviv, and if you don't pick up this child, he's going to get hysterical. Okay, so in a case, Rashi learns it's sakona mamish. Others learn that it's only tsar, the makom tsar of the tinok. But the point is that the chachonim were not geyser their iser of tiltulim, since it's shalobi adai. So memela, I'm not really directly touching the mukta. And it's more than tiltum min atzad, maybe. But they certainly didn't answer it in a case where it would be geirin tsar, according to some, or emes hasakana of hysteria. He doesn't want to let go of the Evan, screaming his head off to be picked up by daddy. And that's the only reason that we were martyred. But not because it's not considered to be tiltum of the Evan. So then if that's the case, then we would be martyred. I thought you were going to say, a stone, Melo, who cares about a stone? But a kiss is money. I do care about money. That's what I was expecting. Now you're telling me, no, actually it's talking about a Tinok who's getting hysterical. There's a whole different thing. So then, if that's the case, why did it say in Evan? Should have said a bigger Kiddush. He could have picked up a child, even if he's carrying money. So the my ire, Evan, afilu dinner nami. And the truth is, I know that that's not true. Because Aloma Rather Lo Shano Ela Evan Avodina Asr, huh? According to this, why did Rava say that indeed it would be Asr to pick him up if he's carrying a dinner?
Daddy wants
to be. That's exactly it. Okay, so to be continued. I'm sorry for keeping you. It's hard to find a place to stop because it's so exciting. We're getting closer and closer. Right after the Kaddish, then we'll talk.